God has chosen for us to live, when we look at dying to self and being raised to life in Christ, that we're a new creation. So there's a time of self-reflection, a time of looking at where we're at in Christ, looking at how our old nature might be getting in the way of the new creation that we are. And if we look at that scripture in Corinthians, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in us, in our body, the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. And during this period of Lent, that's what we're meditating on, that we have died with Christ and we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. And I just want you to perhaps think during this period, maybe you'd like to maybe fast on a Friday, take away one meal and focus prayer on God. Maybe you'd like to the 40 acts of kindness as a family, do something together. So people have different ways of observing Lent. So when I was at the cathedral recently with a group of kids, we were in the Unity Chapel. And the sun was shining into the Unity Chapel. And I took this photograph of the stained glass window. And I really felt that God just spoke to me at that point. Often we feel really insignificant. We can be working really hard, think, is anything making a difference? Or we can feel rubbish about ourselves and think, how can I make any difference in this world? And yet, we are each represented by one piece of glass. We each have our own colour, our own uniqueness. But with the hope of glory within us, when the sun shines on that pane and you see how far the light travels, God does that through each of us. That is the miracle of God. That is the hope of glory shining through us. And that we bear fruit for him. And I just want to encourage you with that as you look at Lent and during the time of self-reflection where you might be a bit despondent or discouraged, that actually you have the hope of glory within you, shining through you. And during this, wilderness school, we were thinking about not so much looking at the tests that Jesus went through. So, for example, if we think about how did Jesus deal with Satan? Can somebody just answer the question? How did Jesus deal with Satan? He replied with the word of God, yes. And what was Satan's way of introducing his ideas to Jesus? It was temptation. I agree with you there. Can you think of the line that he often used? If you are the Son of God, yes. And he might say the same thing to you. If you are the child of God, then why do you do this? Or because he is the accuser. And we're not really going to look at the temptations this morning. So Jesus was tempted by instant gratification to use his power to turn those stones into bread. And he could have done that. We know he turned water into wine. So for a different reason. He tested him with power, and he tested him with pride. And we are tested with those things in our lives. But I want to look more at the wilderness experience and trusting God in that today. So at some point in our lives, we will find ourselves in the wilderness. And that might be because difficult stuff happens, as we've explored. Sometimes it's our own making. Sometimes it's because God has led us there. Now, Jesus quotes the verses that he does from Deuteronomy 8, and I just want to read them to you. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son or daughter, so the Lord God disciplines you. So whether we like it or not, we are going to find ourselves in a wilderness. And the thing to recognize is that sometimes we go there for our own benefit. God knows what's in our hearts, and he knows the outcome. The experience is often for our own benefit to see what is in our hearts, and so that we can then confess those things and actually have, and in that sense, Lent is part of that, being able to confess those things that are blocking our relationship with God or blocking our relationship with others. So when we face difficult situations, we find out what is in our hearts, but we also find out who God is, and we find out whether we worship God for who he is or just for what he can do for us. But even in a difficult situation, and I want to say that if we ever land up in a wilderness situation because of our own doing, God's grace is greater than whatever we have done. And if we've had really horrible things happen to us, we have to reach a place where the cross is greater than our pain, and recognizing that what Jesus has done for us on the cross is greater than our pain. When I was about 25, and my father suddenly died of a heart attack, and I was in shock, and I grieved, but I was also kind of accepting of his death. That wasn't the issue, even though he had died, you know, younger than perhaps most. But in the year following it, I felt like I was in a soundproof room. And I felt like when I read the Bible, nothing happened in my spirit. When I prayed, it really did feel like, you know, the brass of iron that the Bible talks about, that my prayers weren't going anywhere. And it was a year of feeling really isolated. And yet, I also knew that God was with me, and I could see his grace at work in my life. And I said to God, I can remember saying in tears, Lord, I know you're still with me. I know that you haven't left me. Even though I can't feel you, I know you're here, and I will carry on worshiping you. And I made that decision, despite how I was feeling and despite the circumstances. And up to that point, I'd always really known God's presence. And I'd been through a difficult time in my teens where I'd had to really trust God. And I'd seen him come through for me. At the end of the year, we went to a church where the pastor gave a very long analogy, which I won't do to you right now. But he compared an apple tree at the bottom of the garden and a potted bonsai tree. And the potted bonsai tree needed the gardener to tend it regularly, to water it, to prune it, to feed it, for it to keep looking beautiful. Whereas the apple tree at the bottom did get some attention, but not to the same degree. And then one summer, the gardener left, and the people in the house left. And the apple tree kept pushing its roots down, 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 till it found water. Whereas the bonsai tree, because it was potted, couldn't put its roots any further down, and it shriveled up and died. And he said at the end of this talk, he said, do you want to be like the bonsai tree, or do you want to be like the apple tree? And I really felt like God had just spoke to me. It felt like that whole sermon was just for me. Which do you want to be? And it was weird, because soon after that, it felt like the fog completely lifted, and I had walked through that test. And again, God felt close, and I knew his comfort in a more tangible way. But we will all find ourselves in the wilderness at some point. So, and I just wanted to read this passage that came to me this morning. That during that time, in that year, this passage became very precious to me. Deuteronomy 32 says, "In a desert land he found him, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions, the Lord alone led him. No foreign god was with him." And then it talks about how he provided for them in the desert. But that is from the Song of Moses and how God treated Israel. But he does the same for us. An eagle will stir up the nest, and the eaglet is pushed out of the nest and is then plummeting frantically. And at the point where it doesn't yet learn to fly, the mother swoops under and carries them. And God does that with us. But it's our faith muscles grow as we have to reach out to him in new ways when we're in difficult situations and we draw near to him. So today, for getting through the wilderness school, we created a bit of a kit, a survival kit. I'm going to need a bit of help. Would one of you like to come and be my model? I might need a little person, actually. Can I have a... Sorry, I just got a little waterproof. Do you want to come, Joan? So in the wilderness school, in order to survive getting through the wilderness, there are some things that we might want to take with us. So do you mind just standing here for me? Thank you. We're going to fill the kit bag and wear some things. Okay? So in terms of knowing where we're going, you might need a map. And you might need a torch. So shall we blind yourself? Yes. You can put that on if you like.
Does it go on your head?
It does. But you don't have to. You could just wear it around. Yeah? You can try.
Yeah.
You can put the map over your neck, so you don't have to actually hold
it.
Is
that
it
on right?
It is. You've got it all right. You're doing a fantastic job there.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. So... what do we use as Christians to guide us? What is our map? What is our torch?
The Bible,
yes. So that's the main way. And we looked the other month at how the Holy Spirit guides us. And we looked at how we know how to live through the Bible, but also that God speaks to us through it in our circumstances. And the thing about the torch is, it only works for what's just in front of you. It doesn't work for what's over there. But because of the Bible, we do know the end of the story. We know that we have the victory in Christ. And at Easter, we know that we're looking forward to the resurrection. So even through Lent, we know that we're looking forward to that time when Jesus rose from the dead. Now, you might also need a bottle of water. So I'm going to give you the rucksack that you can pop that in. And what might symbolize the water? Yes, okay, so there's different things, but the Holy Spirit, the life of the Spirit in us. So as we're walking through the wilderness, we might not have real water. And for those of us who have been watching The One Show, we'll know those who have been in the Namib Desert, how the heat has been a massive, massive issue for the people doing that particular challenge. And the water of life, drawing near to God, receiving the water that he gives us. In this country, you'll need a waterproof. Sorry. Thank you very much. You're a lovely model. So, I'm going to pop this just up there. What in our walk with God might act as a shield, as a waterproof. Well, he does, I agree, but we were talking about, we've used the water of life for that to come up from within, because Jesus says that streams of living water will flow from out of us. What might act as a shield? Faith, yes, faith in. Because I can have faith that the chair will keep me up. Yeah, it's not a test. I know that it feels like a test, but no. Yes. Faith in Jesus, faith in who Jesus says we are, the faith in what Jesus has done for us. So we rely on what Jesus has done for us on the cross, that when he rose again, so he's forgiven us and we are children of God. So that acts as a shield over our mind and our heart, that we are loved children of God, who we are in Christ. That when the barbs come, we have God's love and who we are to protect us. So, let's think. Can I give you that? Now, you might not have that as a walker, but that is represents the presence of Jesus, the presence of Jesus in our lives. That we can trust God to be with us at all times. He said that he will never leave us or forsake us, and he's promised to be with us. So Christ's presence comes with us. Wherever we go, whatever we go through, he promises to be with us. And that's something, at times, is a choice to believe, even though we might not feel like we can actually feel his presence in that moment. Now, why might I have a phone? Yeah, we can read the Bible on it, can't we? So you can pop that in the bag. Because when we're in this, and if you think back to the stained glass window and all that light shining and all those stain, those glass pieces of glass, we're part of the body, and it's okay to be honest. So when you're going through the wilderness, being honest with God about where you're at, being honest with others, and maybe saying to someone, I need some help. So the whole idea of phoning a friend and saying, can you come and help me, walk with me on this journey? Don't suffer on your own and alone. Find someone who you trust who can walk with you in that journey. And then, why might I have some Maltesers? Because I like them, I do like them, but... Sorry? Being kind to yourself, yeah, well, that's a very good thing when you're walking in the wilderness, to be kind to yourself. It's part of that, actually. It's part of being thankful, part of being able to give something away, yeah? So even though you're walking through the wilderness, if you're noticing the little things that God does for you, the kindness of friends, the fact that you've got a warm house to sleep in, just being able to count your blessings and then being able to give something away will help you as you walk through the wilderness. So having an attitude of thankfulness, having an attitude of, actually there are still some things to enjoy here. There's still some things to give God thanks for while I'm walking through this difficult journey. And I think, you know, that we all will at some point. Jesus came out of the wilderness empowered for his ministry. And for each of us in our wilderness experiences, we can either come out of that bitter and disappointed with God, or we can come out better and kinder. And as we wait on God, he fills us anew with his strength and with his spirit, like Jesus did. And if Jesus needed to do it, then how much more do we? So I just want to really encourage you to wait on God during this time of Lent, to take that time out to read his word, to be filled with him, and to have that sense of, as if you do enter a difficult period, that actually you do have everything. God says you have everything for life and godliness. You have equipped with everything. So remember, a thankfulness that who you are as a child of God will shield you from the lies of the enemy. So if he comes knocking on your door, you can just say, no, I am loved. I am not forsaken. I am treasured. I am the apple of God's eye. And you've got your kit. You've got your map of where to go. You've got Christ's presence with you. And you've got the water of life within you. All right. I'm just going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to respond. Father, I just want to thank you for your fatherhood of us. I thank you for this period of Lent where we can examine our hearts before you and where we might allow you to just put your finger on something that we might confess it and become free and clean so that we can shine for your glory. Lord, I pray that you'll seal your word in our hearts and that you would encourage us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much, and you may have that.
Oh, that's very kind.
So, you might have noticed that there is a creation at the side of the room called Hope. Hope is running a campaign, an idea this year, where they're inviting people to encourage people from the community, people in churches, to create a hope wall, a hope space. And our prayers become that wall of hope. And so you'll find that you've got a card in front of you, which I'd appreciate it if you could write a prayer this morning. If you like to draw, you could draw. Okay. It says, we all have hopes and dreams and things we would like to see happen, things we need. Please write or draw a prayer or thought about the things you hope for on this prayer card. So I'm just going to give you a moment, and at the end of that time, Carol's going to play. Is there somewhere, something in your life that you'd love to see God breakthrough in? Now, it can be something personal, or it can be something about this church that you would love to see a new vicar, that you would love to see more children. Whatever it is, but it could be something personal, I'd like you to write it, and then I'm going to invite you, and I might help you with that, peg up your prayer, and it'll go that way round, okay, on the prayer wall. And we will also carry on praying that God will honor those prayers. And later on this month, we'll invite some of the community to also participate in writing their own prayer of hope and putting it on the hope wall. So if you're happy to do that, I'm going to give you some time now to think it through and write down, where would you like to see God break through? It might be just in your own life that you'd love to really know God's love. Maybe you'd love to see someone else discover God's love and truth. Maybe you'd love to see someone healed. Whatever it is, take a moment to write that down before God.